Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. It is noon and it is time for Around the House with Eric G. We're going to have some fun in the studio today. Sitting in here with my producer, Jordan, we're going to have a good time.
Always a good day on Around the House.
You got it, brother. So we're going to be sitting in here and we're going to talk outdoor stuff because, you know, it's outdoor season. And that's what I like about outdoor season is we can kind of enjoy it today. So we want to talk about all your projects because there's a ton of things going on out there. I know that everybody is just kind of eyeballing all those things. And when you're eyeballing these things with outdoor projects, they can be very overwhelming as well. So 877-733-1011. I want to get your call today. 877-733-1011. And of course, ATH at KXL.com is how you email me. And if you missed last week's show where we talked about hoarding or we had some other people on, you could always go over to aroundthehouseonline.com, and that's where you're going to find all the different podcasts to more Good Day Oregon segments and all those things. So that is the place to find all of that stuff. So we want to talk a little outdoor stuff, but like we always do, I got a little soapbox to jump on for a minute. Now that it's getting nice outside, can we keep the children safe?
Absolutely. I was looking at the most recent study I could find shows 5,000 children fall from windows each year.
Ugh.
And it's so preventable. It's so easy to fix.
It's like $5 a window. There's nothing to it, and it takes you 5 minutes to do this. So I put up on our Facebook page, which is Around the House with Eric G. I put up my More Good Day Oregon segment I did, geez, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago that I put up there. And it's about falling out of windows. So I actually had Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue, TVFNR, out there. And we did a cool segment about window safety. And some of the things that I learned about window safety is don't stack anything in front of that window. You know, in a kid's bedroom, that screen is great for keeping the bugs out, but it won't keep anybody in. And it really almost can be a false sense of security for somebody that's leaning up against it or something else. So don't stack anything in front of the window. Don't put the dresser there because you're building a ladder. Keep all that stuff away from there. And then go get some window locks. And they take nothing to put in. And you can keep kids from bouncing off. And I don't care if you're a grandparent and the kids come over a couple times a year. Prevent it. It's easy. On second floor windows like this, it's not that big a deal to put that up. And it keeps kids from falling out. So let's go out and make sure that we're safe on those things. And almost every home center has these things. I mean, you can go into a Fred Meyer, you can go into your Ace Hardware, any of the big box stores. Take a minute, get some. And if you can't afford it, you know, do a little bit at a time. And it's very inexpensive insurance to go through and do these windows. And you know, start with the kids' rooms and, you know, with fire safety and things like that, it only takes a second to be able to unscrew them and take them off the window if, you know, you needed to get out that window. So doesn't take much to do it, but let's keep those kids safe this year.
Absolutely. Kids under the age of 5 are most likely to fall out of them, and they it's typically because they're leaning up against the screen. So you really can't rely on those screens to do that for you.
Man, you push on that screen. It just takes nothing to push it out. There's a little tiny aluminum clip holding that thing in there, or a plastic one even. And that's a false sense of security with those things. Great for keeping the bugs out, bad for keeping the kids in.
Absolutely.
So, all right, well, let's talk about some other stuff. Soapbox is stepping down from that.
Put that away real quick.
We'll put that away. That's our little public service announcement. And you're going to hear a lot about it this year because it's something we're going to remind every few weeks. We'll be diving back into that again. So let's talk a little bit about stuff. And by the way, don't forget, like we are all summer long, we're going to be giving away 30 Seconds Outdoor Cleaner. That way, you can keep that grime and junk off of everything. And the cool thing is this is going to be that 64-ounce spray it. You can hit the second story with this stuff. So if your lawn furniture's looking a little rough or the driveway's looking a little grimy, you can fix it. We'll be giving that away this hour. So, and if you're going to be back, we'll be giving away next hour too. So we're going to have some fun with that. Well, I want to talk a little bit about, let's dive into lawnmowers for a minute. And we're going to dive into this kind of in this segment and into the next a bit. There's a big debate out there. You know, lawnmowers are loud. They take gasoline. They take maintenance. You know, I did that segment with Sparks on lawnmower, you know, maintenance, just keeping them dialed in, keeping that blade safe, oil changed. I mean, when was the last time you changed your lawnmower oil? Yeah, thought so. that was last year. No, that was 4 years ago. Maybe when you bought it. Little maintenance things like that. When'd you change the air filter? You know, spark plug, those kind of things. Well, these days, you've got more options out there. So you can go out and buy that, you know, a nice Toro mower. You can go out and get a nicer Honda one. Let's say you're looking at a $700 Honda mower, for instance. Nice mower. I love the Honda ones. Nothing wrong with that. But now you can get battery power ones. And the cool thing with these is there's a lot of things you can do with these. What I like about the battery power ones, you can actually take them in the garage and store them on their side. Take up a lot less space in that garage. It's kind of nice because we all want more tools. And if we can save a little bit of space with that, we're doing okay. But the cool thing is like, you know, Skip Bedell does a lot with the Ego line of mowers. You see them in like Home Depot, that kind of stuff. And they're battery powered. So you can charge it. You're using it once a week, maybe twice a week. The cool thing with those is they will actually outperform a lot of the glass mowers because you can go out on a single charge on one battery. You can do up to an acre. If you got heavy, thick grass, you'll probably get a half acre out of it. That's a lot of grass. Most people don't have a half acre of grass. And if so, go get a second battery. That way you can do more. But it's nice because now you don't have all the oils, you don't have all the gasoline, and it's quieter, and you got less emissions out of it. So it's a cool way to go, and they work really well. When you go up against a like-for-like mower, they perform really well. And just like we were talking about power tools, when you get into that stuff, batteries are the way to go. I mean, my Morgan Day Oregon segment I just did yesterday, a film that'll be airing this next week, I was replacing a power cord on a sander. Those days are going to be gone pretty soon. I mean, this was an old sander that my buddy Scotty gave me, but the cord was shredded. But whoever's using this belt sander, it's your typical old Sears Craftsman, you know, belt sander that I think there's a million of them in every garage out there. But, you know, that cord was shredded on it. Well, guess what? With battery power, those cords are going away.
Now, what's the price comparison between gas and battery on the lawnmowers?
Well, you can buy that really nice Honda for $700. You can buy that nice Ego mower for $700.
Very comparable.
You're not going to get the little $400 mower, which is a decent little mower, you know. But if you're into the more premium nice ones, like that $700 mower, they're $7,700. They're pretty close. And you're not buying gas. So it doesn't take long for that to not have to, you know, really step up and be a decent mower. And I like the fact that you can store it on side. And there are some newer models of mowers out there that are now having to compete with some of those storage things where you can take the gas one and put it on its side. But I do like that for garage space. That is pretty dang handy for keeping space up because it's a nice thing. I've been so busy that we've got lawn care now. I like not having not tripping over that lawnmower in the garage because that's just more square footage taking up space.
Don't want to take up too much space in the workshop.
Nope, not at all. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit more about lawnmowers, but we're going to jump into maybe some attic ventilation and even some deck safety. So we're going to have a good time with that just as soon as Around the House returns. Around the House with Eric G, where we talk home improvement each Saturday afternoon. And if you're listening to the podcast, this is hour number one. And if you want to check out the podcast, if you missed some of the show, head over to Around the House Online, where you can catch all the history of the show back there. We want to get your calls today at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. And I also want to mention this segment is brought to you by Western Construction Systems. Is cracked or crumbling foundations killing your real estate deals? For free inspection, contact Western Construction Systems. The integrity of your foundation is their specialty guaranteed. And that's CCB number 94222. Well, I think it's about that time. Let's give away some of that 30 seconds outdoor cleaner. Now, the thing is, you're going to have to come down to the studio here in Portland and pick it up. So I'm sorry for you guys out in KBND and KONA country, because it's a heck of a commute to get down here. But if you're on vacation, you might be able to work something out. But we're going to give away a 64-ounce hose end sprayer for this great product. One of the secrets that I'm going to say with this is always follow the directions, because that is the key for this to work correctly. If you don't, you just get around and don't work with it right, you're not going to get the desired result. If you follow the directions, that's the key with this product. A lot with any product. So we're going to go caller number 10. That's the one Donovan picked today. Caller number 10, let's go that at 503-733-4101. So caller number 10 at 503-733-4101. And I'll let you know when we have a winner as those calls start rocking in. All right. Well, we've been talking lawnmowers a little bit here and kind of going green on the lawnmower thing. And I'll be honest, up until now, this last year or so, I have not been a fan of the battery-powered lawnmowers. They didn't last. They were troublesome, but they're working out really well. And I wanted to give a little bit more of the specs on this. And again, this isn't some paid commercial thing, because they're not paying me to say it. I just kind of want to let people know about some of the new technology you see out there, and especially if it's going to save you time, money, and space in your garage. But, you know, their new mower that's out, it's a 21-inch self-propelled lawnmower. And the cool thing is that it has that 56-volt lithium-ion battery that powers this thing. So that'll give you up to 60 minutes of runtime, you know, with the battery they've got. You can always get another battery. 60 minutes of runtime is a lot, but that does work well. And it's self-propelled, so you can cruise around with that thing. So it's a good way to go. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about, you know, in summertime that we run into this a lot, is we're coming up on Memorial Day weekend, and Memorial Day weekend is one of those weekends you're either out of town, or it seems you're barbecuing on the grill, or you got friends over. Well, the key with all of that is that you really want to be mindful of your deck, because if you've got a bunch of people over on your deck after you've got it nicely finished, it's looking great, you know, whether it's cleaned from the 30 seconds outdoor cleaner, or you get that new New Zealand sealant on it, it's looking awesome. So you want to make sure it's safe. So there's a little bit you can do, and I just posted up on our Facebook page around the house with Eric G. Now, with that, there is a cool little kind of checklist that's up on there, and I've got a deeper checklist. But if you watch the news and you see all of the different deck failures out there, there's a couple things that happen. Usually what happens is it's not up to code, and you can kind of do a check with that, do a quick walk around. But the biggest thing that I see out there are two things. One, the deck wasn't properly fastened to the house. So I want to see lag bolts or SPAC screws or a structural connection, not just nails. So if you go along there and look at that rim joist where it's fastened to the house, I want to see lag bolts into that. If there's not bolts in there, it's shocking how many decks are not attached to the house correctly. That should not be nails. You need to have lag bolts or something serious into there. Like there are heavy duty new screws that'll do the same thing. But if that's not connected, that could pull away from the house. And so you could have the best built deck out there. And if that's not connected correctly there, that's where you see the most deaths out there. Now, you want to check out rot. So I like to get underneath there and take a peek around it and see what you've got. In our weather, and I don't care if you're on the eastern side of the state or the western side, those things get tore up with our weather out here. And by the way, Art from Gresham, congrats out there. You are the winner. So you will be, stay tuned. We're going to be giving away some more of the 30 seconds outdoor cleaner in hour number two. So I want to get your calls, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. So when you're talking deck safety like that, the other thing you want to check is going to be all the railings. Make sure they're tight. Make sure that they're installed correctly. Again, that's another connection. I don't want to see nails on. I want to see those things screwed into the side. I want to see them bolted onto the side of that, because you'll get four or five people out there. Maybe they got a cocktail in their hand. They're leaning over, leaning up against the railing. If that deck is high up off the ground and that thing lets loose or the nails pull out, a lot of force on that connection, so make sure you've got that. I've been over to people's houses, and I've actually gone over there for barbecue or even over to a client's place, and I've walked out on decks before that have made through inspections before. I had one that was up in Vancouver that made it through a house inspection. I walked out on that thing, and it was scary. I was holding on to the gutter. I was reaching up because I thought, man, this thing is going to pull out from the house. Got up underneath it, and it was barely connected. And so that homeowner ended up putting a new, complete new deck in, but you know, it doesn't take much for those things to collapse and fall. So, again, make sure it's up to code. Make sure that those wood and deck connections are good. So you want to make sure that those, it's fastened everywhere. And then the last thing is make sure you got some flashing in there. You know, if that deck was installed correctly, there's flashing from where the siding goes in to that front rim joist on there, and that's where you got to be careful with, because if you get water around that, it can all rot out, and then those connections aren't going to do well if the wood's not going to hold together. So that's the key right there. Make sure that that is well done. And then the other thing is too, I'm not a fan of your normal little deck blocks that you buy at the home centers. They're little concrete blocks you put down. I want to see those posts that go down into the ground into a serious footing, because you want that to give more structural rigidity to that. And if that's in tied in together, you're golden. And again, you know, follow the building codes out there. Put the railings in, build it right. Because, you know, the average deck only lasts 15 years out there. That is a basically the planned lifespan of a decking surface up there. So many people out there, a majority of decks are over that age. And it's those holidays where you have people coming up, you know, and you get 10 people over on it, and that's when things start to fail. So, hey, one thing I want you to do is take a look. There's a nice little thing. Go over to Around the House with Eric G here on Facebook. We've got that up there. I also put up the video for the window safety one up there as well, and we'll dive into that. Let's see. I want to get your calls, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Coming up here in the next hour, we're going to also be talking about lots of different things outside. I want to talk about ventilation, because when you look at that house in your attic, you get all that heat building up in there. That's energy loss. But there's some people out there that just put in the wrong vent fan or don't design it correctly. So we're going to talk about some of those details so you don't make some big mistakes that cost you money. So we'll be diving into that and many more things. We get your calls at 877-733-1011 just as soon as Around the House returns. Around the House with Eric G. I just love that song. I like that. I think Ace Hardware took their theme song from that. So thanks to Griggs Ace Hardware in the Troy Cities for being a sponsor of Around the House on KONA. Love those guys over there. Well, speaking of KONA, I want to jump out to John in Pasco. Welcome to Around the House.
Hi, thank you. I was listening to what you had to say about lawnmowers, and I wanted to bring to your attention, I came across a really unique product that they have been marketing there in the Tri-Cities.
Okay.
And Colfax. It's called Tribotex, the smart nanoparticles.
Okay.
And what they do is you put them inside the oil of your lawnmower.
Okay.
And it will actually increase your power by 13.34%. They had a chirogen study done in the University of Nebraska in 2017, and they went on to Washington, D.C., and they got the innovative product of the year. Not only does it work in lawnmowers and small motorcycle engines, chainsaws, and et cetera, but it also works in your daily driver cars. to give you an idea, I just used the product myself in an 06 Chrysler Hemi 300C. Mm-hmm. It was getting a little bit boggy, and the mileage dropped back to like 12.8. And then I went ahead and I looked at this Tribotex, and I looked at their webpage at tribotex.com.
You know, man, here's the one thing I don't like about some of these products. And again, here's my theory with a lot of these.
Can I tell you one thing about what happened? We were at 12.8 miles to a gallon. We put that in. We drove between Pasco and Yakima, mm-hmm. came back, and we were actually averaging 21.3.
Sounds like you might have had some issues with the car to begin with. But my point is I'm not a big fan of the oil additives out there, and here's why. If there was a product out there that worked super well that was in there, I would expect somebody like Mobil 1 or Valvoline or one of these other companies out there to actually put it in their oil and actually have it really go with everything. And because I tell you what, if you had a product out there that worked really well in an oil, I would expect that company to come out and go, I'm going to gain you 30% more mileage. I'm going to do that. And you see a lot of these different additives. So I'd really want to see a lot more kind of data on that to get into that. Well, thanks for calling in, John. Appreciate it. I want to get all your calls at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. We've been talking lawnmowers for a little bit, but I want to talk real quick. You know, it's that time of year. It's sugar ant season.
I've been noticing them out back and on my back patio at my place and kind of getting up towards my house. So, yeah, how can I take care of these, Eric?
Man, it is the invasion time of year. You know, springtime comes around, and as the weather changes, you see that stuff. I'm sure everybody out there is dealing with them as well. But I don't know. There's home remedies you can do, but I usually just go out and get those little taro ant bait stations and put those out. You know, we had one little attack in the house earlier this year where it was coming around by the kitchen sink. And you really want to watch out for those things because they're just a hassle. Now, I'm not talking the big carpenter ants. If you've got big carpenter ants, there's a bigger issue there. But with these small sugar ants, if you use those taro bait stations out there, you can make your own up with borax and a simple solution that way as well. But if you do that, and put them around. I like to put them around more of the outside of the house to try to get them before they come in. But sometimes you'll see them popping up in a crack in a basement or anywhere else. But if you get ahead of them, it's easier than dealing with them. But I tell you what, with any of these, they take a lot of patience. Now, if you've got the big carpenter ants, I'll be honest, that is not a DIY project. I have never successfully been able to work with those. So that's really when you want to bring the exterminator in, because if you've got those big, you know, meaty carpenter ants, the big ants rolling around, they're chewing up your house. And if they're chewing your house around, guess what? You want to have somebody to come out and do it. And there are people out there that, you used to see a lot of people drilling in to the side of the house and injecting stuff into your house to stop the carpenter ants. There's some new enzymes and stuff out there that the pest control companies are using that are much less toxic. So you're not having to put all that stuff in your house. You can actually put some of these enzymes out. And that'll work pretty well. And you want to protect your home. The other thing, too, is keep in mind when you're doing that, it's that time of year I'd be looking at your crawl space and stuff. When you're out looking around, keep an eye out for a lot of the different beetles in your crawl space. And especially here in the Portland area, we do have termite issues around here. And people, oh, there's no termites around here. There are in Portland. I've seen plenty of them. You know, you get into Portland, you get up into St. John's. I've run into places down in Southeast. And I tell you what, when you get into that, it gets kind of interesting because I have seen tens of thousands of dollars of damage of termites. And it's not like the wet termites that you see down in California where it'll chew the whole house down. But they will go through and shred those, you know, the floor joists, the different stuff out there. And so you want to get on top of that stuff.
If you don't jump on it, you're going to be looking at a pricey fix down the line.
Those things don't fix themselves, and they get pretty darn expensive. Hey, let's jump out here to Robert in Salem. Welcome to Around the House.
Oh, I heard a beep, but I didn't hear my name.
Robert, welcome, buddy.
Yeah,
what can
right.
I help you with?
I have a house with under the eaves, round holes every few inches,
mm-hmm.
about 3 inches in diameter, and birds are now tearing the screens out and making nests. Now, do I need those holes to ventilate? Do I need them all? Can I change you know, plug them all up and do other kind of venting?
There are different kinds of venting, but you definitely need that venting because what happens is that's kind of the air intake for your attic. So the air is going to, cool air from outside is going to come in there. And when that comes in there, it's going to vent out. So you want to keep that airflow moving well. I would probably go through there and install heavier duty screens and use a heavier duty material, you know, a thicker screen material when you go up in there. And do that. But, yeah, you definitely want to keep those screens going. But really, there's not I haven't run into a specific screen product that's really meant for that. But if they've got the lighter duty, thinner screens, yeah, you're right. The birds, if they're getting aggressive and they're looking through there, they'll tear them up. So I'd go into more of a wire mesh will probably get you there.
All right.
Sorry, man. I wish there was better news.
It's almost impossible to get to the hole though from the inside.
You know, I've seen people go through and go it from the outside and then just use I've seen people go through and do a 1x2 frame around them and attach through the 1x2, so they build just a trim around each one of those, and you can kind of build them up in the shop and then go through and attach them. And if you do it from the outside that way, then you can paint it to match, it'll look pretty good. But I tell you what, that'll keep those birds from ripping them off.
Isn't there another way of venting the attic?
There is, but you want that clean, cool air to come up through the eaves right there. So that's a good way to get that air in because you're drawing across the backside of that. So what that'll help you with in the wintertime is if you have any ice damming, and it'll also help you if you have, you know, hot summer, these hot 80, 90, 100-degree days we get here in the Northwest, it'll also help get that air out again. So you definitely want that cross-draft. If you were just to go with a ridge vent and then side, you're not going to get the same airflow, and you're going to have a hotter and more unconditioned attic, which will cost you in your air conditioning bills.
Okay, that's the other part. Now, I was going to take out the insulation that's up there because it's only less than a foot deep, and fill it a lot deeper with better insulation.
Robert, we're going to have to go out to break here, but you need to stay tuned next hour because I am specifically going to talk about what you need to do in our next segment here. Actually, when we come up out of this break, I'm going to talk about those details and what you need to do. Does that work for you?
The vent holes are lower than the surface of the insulation.
Sounds good. All right, I'll show you how to do it. We're going to talk about it. Thanks for calling into Around the House. When we come back, we're going to talk about this because this is a big deal when we dive into this because we're going to save you some money and get good ventilation in that attic. We'll talk about it just as soon as Around the House returns. Short time to get there. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. Little me first in the gimme gimmies. We're having a good time. Love that old Jerry Reed stuff. good songs.
They were just in town. We missed them.
I know it. I know it. I love me first in the gimme gimmies. Good stuff. Good stuff. I saw them last year when they came through, and that was a
good
killer
show. Nice.
Good stuff to go watch. Well, hey, we've been talking home improvement stuff like we do each Saturday from noon to 2. This is what we do here. Thanks for joining us. I want you to get your call at 877-733-1011. Donovan wants to hear from you as well. He's the gentleman that will be answering the phone and asking you all the pertinent questions. Give us a call because we want to help you with all of these projects today. We know there's a lot you're trying to get done before the big weekend coming up next weekend, and we've got some big kind of party weekends for people out on the barbecue and stuff. So let's talk about getting these outdoor projects knocked out. We're going to give away next hour another 30 seconds outdoor cleaner, 64-ounce hose end sprayer. So you can hook it up to your hose and get cleaning and knock that honeydew list off. That's the great part because, man, if you can hook something up to a hose and get some work done on it, I love it. That makes it easy. Well, we got calls coming in here. We're going to talk a little bit about attic ventilation. And if you just heard that last call, this is a big deal out there because we're getting into that time of year in the summertime where it makes a huge difference on getting that hot air out of that attic space. Because if you're banking up there, you know, 120, 130 degree heat, that's just going to come down through that insulation and cause problems. And in many cases, reduce the life of your roof up there, because that tar roof doesn't like to get hot. And if you can keep that cooler, you're better off. So a lot of people, what they do, kind of the first DIY project people jump in up there, is they will put in one of those attic vent fans. And this isn't a big whole house fan, but this is an attic vent fan that pulls air out of the over your attic space and puts it outside, basically. Well, the problem is that you can create a vacuum when you do those things. So you will start pulling air out of the house that's already conditioned and pulling it out. So that's the problem with these things. You need to, with any of these roof surfaces, you need to dive in and do the math. And we're going to talk more about this segment and into next hour, because this is a very important detail. So we're going to get into that. But rule number one, when we get a call, we take it. Can't be rude to all you great listeners out there. James, welcome to Around the House.
How's it going?
Good, man. What can I help you with today?
Hey, I purchased a new house about a year and a half ago, and landscaping's, you know, my own property is pretty new to me. So I didn't realize when I put the True Green stuff on the grass, if you don't sweep it off the concrete and that gets wet, it turns your concrete orange.
Yep.
And I've been trying to find ways to clean that. A guy at Home Depot had me use deck cleaner. Didn't quite take it all off. You could still see the orange. I'm just wondering if you got a trick for that.
Yeah, you can use some acid on that, and be careful with it. This is where you get the safety gear out. So you can get the muriatic acid, and you can get it off of that with that. But here's the thing. This is dangerous stuff. This is basically like battery acid. So you need to be using gloves, respirator, eye protection, face protection. It's kind of nasty. So you get that at the hardware store. Mix it up with some water and put it on there and have the hose ready to take it right back off, because it will go crazy on there. So it'll take off on you. So just a little bit of time, you know, use plastic stuff, and you can get that off of there. That rust and stuff from that will come off of there. But follow all the safety precautions on it, man. That stuff will eat a hole right into you.
Okay, so you just can you just put it in like a little spray bottle and dilute it like 1-to-1? Or?
No, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't aerate it at all. I'd put it in a little bucket, get a little plastic bucket, put it in there, and that'll work great for you. And just you could put that in one of the in a brush, you know. But like I said, get some acid gloves, eye protection, face protection, and be careful when you do that. Don't get it on you, because you'll find it pretty quickly.
And then you said that was
muriatic acid. Muriatic acid. Yeah, you can get it at paint stores, all those different. Usually you'll see it in a hardware store. And it's a good, heavy, heavy-duty cleaner. It's like if you're going to be doing putting epoxy coating in a garage, many times you'll use that to etch it. So that's the same product to use, and it'll work. But like I said, safety's key with this. It'll leave a mark on you, man.
Okay, great. I had one other quick question, if you got a second.
Sure, man.
I'm always out on the road going to people's houses and stuff, and I got a brand new house, just the regular aggregated concrete driveway and you know, front porch and all that. Well, I see the new ones, they're doing that real nice, shiny, textured, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But
yeah, the stamped. More.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering if there's a way to refinish your driveway with that after it's already been done with the aggregated.
There are companies that can come in and actually top coat over the top of that exposed aggregate, and they will come in and do a stamped kind of layer over the top of that. You kind of Google it online. You can find it for you, and that'll take care of it for you. All right, man. Thanks. Bye. Thanks for calling into Around the House, James. Appreciate you listening. When we come back, we'll take all those calls just as soon as Around the House returns. Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. If you want to reach the smartest listening audience of homeowners and contractors without competing with those crazy political ads, head to aroundthehouseonline.com and contact me personally for more information. That's aroundthehouseonline.com.